Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and praise the Lord, everybody. It's Pastor Dean Judkins of Holy Ghost Fire Church, along with Charlie Sims of Holy Ghost Fire Church. We welcome you to another show. How you doing this evening, Charlie?
I'm doing good.
Good. For all of those who followed us on Tuesday, we think we have the problem solved with Charlie cutting in and out. The technical difficulties should not be with us, and so we should have a good show. Charlie, how would you like to open us in prayer today?
Lord, we're thankful and grateful for your mercy and kindness toward us. And Lord, we ask now in the name of Jesus that you'll, by your Holy Spirit, you'll come. Lord, we invite you to come and be with us, Lord. And Lord, that you lead, guide, and direct this show, this conversation, this study we do here, and the talk. And Father, we thank you for it, and that you can rule and overrule. Lord, you can lead us any way you want us to go. And Father, we'll thank you for it. And Lord, we just pray that the hearts of those that hear it and those that will call in, the Lord, you'll touch them by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. So today we're going to be talking about walking in faith or fear. I'm going to give my own personal opinion on that. In the situation in my life, we all try to walk in faith, but at times we walk in fear. Is that something that, I don't know, every now and then you may even happen to you in your life, Charlie?
Oh, yes. Sometimes we get anxious and a little bit overwhelmed about things, and we get a little bit fearful, and we have to remind ourselves who the Lord is. And, sometimes I get a little bit fearful. I admit it.
I get fearful when my wife is not, could be angry or, fear is common for everybody. And, there's an old saying, if mama's not happy, then the rest of the house isn't happy. So I have faith when I come in, she'll always be happy. Otherwise, great fear comes over me.
That's legitimate.
All right, get your pen and papers ready. Write down these scriptures. Don't listen to what Brother Charlie. Don't take our word for it. Write down the scriptures. Let the Holy Ghost teach you, and just get into the scriptures a little bit later. So again, we're going to be talking about walking in faith and fear. And like I always do, I'm going to give you the definitions of faith. I'm going to give you the definition of fear. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or is a threat. Would you like to add anything to that, Charlie?
No, that's a pretty good definition. It's healthy to have some aspects of fear. Where I'm from down south, it's good to have a healthy respect for the rattlesnakes and copperheads and water moccasins we may run into. We don't have that problem up here in the Northeast, but we do where I come from. So there's a healthy respect that can also be used as the word fear. And when we say we fear the Lord, it's not that we be totally afraid of him or afraid to approach him, but there's a healthy respect for him. Because the scriptures teach us that we are to fear the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So in essence, what you're saying is when we start to speak about fear, we're going to start out in faith first, but there could be two different kinds or two different types of fear, correct?
Yes.
All right. And in all actuality, I guess you could say there's two different kinds of faith. There's the faith that pleases God, and then there's empty faith, or
yes,
false faith, I guess you could say.
That's
and
right.
So we're going to cover some of these aspects on this today. And I have a fear when I go to the restaurant with Charlie Sims and watching him eat his grits. That causes great fear in my life.
Get over it.
Yeah. So I had to get the grit thing out of the way here, but all right, now we can start. So, Charlie, would you read Romans 10, verse 17 for us?
Romans 10, 17. Give me a moment to find it, and I'll be right there. I didn't have my Bible open. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. For those of you listening, Charlie and I will go out once a week usually for breakfast and discuss things. And he's from the South, so he's always got his big bowl of grits, and I always have my sausage and egg omelet that I'm always eating. So I'm an omelet eater. He's a grit eater.
That's right. We eat the grits. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Would you like to expound on that a little bit for us?
One of the aspects of faith, if I understand the scriptures correctly, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. There's two aspects of that. There's the written word, which is the Logos, and there's the Rhema word. The Logos, the written word, we will have faith by reading the word, because we will know who Christ is. We will recognize who he is, and that will become an integral part of our life, so we know that we can trust him. The other aspect of that is the Rhema, which is an inspired word of God that the Lord will give you sometimes in situations or circumstances, or even under what we would consider normal conditions. The Lord will drop something into your heart that will come vibrant and alive, and that gives you faith as well.
Amen. Amen. I mean, that's it in a nutshell right there. You hit both things that I was going to say, the Logos and the Rhema word. What's being talked about here is the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. So you're hearing the word of God, or the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good. Gospel means good, by the way. So with that, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 and read verse 6. I'll read this one. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So we know, in order to become born again, to be forgiven of our sins, we have to have faith in who, Charlie?
We have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And we have to basically have faith that Jesus died for our sins, that he has rose again and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And we have to have faith that Jesus is Lord. Correct?
That's right.
So we know that if you have faith, then it's something that you believe in. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that says here, that it's impossible without that faith to please God, but by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that is pleasing to God, because we have faith in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So, and then it's also saying here that we can't come to God without faith in Jesus Christ. Is there any other ways that you know of, Charlie, in your 40 plus years of studying, is there any other way to get to heaven or to, you know, get into the kingdom of God?
No, we have to come in that way. That's the first step. I think it's in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It tells us again that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that tells me there that at that point in time, that there's an essence of faith and trust when we confess Christ that we shall be saved.
Amen. Amen. And then the last part of that verse, and it says, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when we flex our faith muscle. We listen to the Word of God. We study the Logos and we listen to the Rhema. We get the words of God. We're doing the things of God. We're abiding in Christ. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We're seeking God. That builds our faith, because by doing this, you learn who you are in Christ. And so the things of the world now, you know that you're an overcomer because of who you are in Christ. So you have faith in God's word and who you are in Christ. And then by doing so, God says that he will reward us for seeking him, or diligently seeking him. So when we do what the word of God says, not only are we saved, Charlie, but God rewards us.
Yes, he does. And I'm glad you clarified that, because this particular scripture has been perverted in certain circles to mean money.
No.
And that's not what it means.
No.
When we
that's
seek
the problem.
The Lord, when we seek the Lord, he will reward us with himself.
Amen. Amen. But like you said, that's the problem with the gospel. Today, a lot of the gospel is being preached pervertedly, like you said, the doctrine of demons, and a big portion of this is the prosperity message.
Yes, it is.
Money, 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 money. That's not how God operates. Quick story for you. Our church, we do affiliations. We're starting to do affiliations with other churches, other ministries around the world that want to come in under our teachings, which praise God, that's what we're here for. But many times, ministries or churches will ask us to basically give them money to support their church. And everything is about money, 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 money. But Charlie, I don't know about you, but if God has called you to do something, he will supply all the need that is needed for your ministry or your church. Is that not correct?
I agree with that 100%.
And if that's not the case, and you have to go and ask people for money, first of all, that turns a lot of people off and steers them away from the gospel. And secondly, you're wasting time, and it's probably something that God's never called you to do to begin with.
Very possible.
So what you need to do is learn through faith whatever your destiny, your legacy in Christ is, whatever you've been called to do, that if God has truly called you to do this, then he shall supply all your needs according to his riches and his glory in heaven.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean that, Charlie, you started a church and I was working with you and I just thought that God was doing mighty things through you, and the Holy Ghost drops into my heart saying, hey, you know what, Dean? Give Charlie a couple $1,000 for his ministry. Now, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But you don't have to go around and ask people for money or pass a bucket around. Well, like we were talking about earlier today, whip up a frenzy in the church crowd and play these beautiful dynamic songs and preach that 20 or 30 minute message to really get to people so you can fill them buckets up.
That's right.
That's not what God's all about.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. You're right. So, amen. I don't know why I said that, but that was for free. I don't charge either. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2.
Let's don't forget the phone number.
Okay, yeah. If you're looking to call in, if you have questions, you disagree with us, or you want to just discuss some things, you can call us at 646-787-8364. Again, that is 646-787-8364. We would love to hear for you. We're not looking for just people who want to agree with us. We're looking for people who may disagree with us so that we can discuss it and we can go to the Word and we can come up with something. Is that not right, Charlie?
That's right.
All right. So let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. And Charlie, how about if you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8?
Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Love it.
Can you expound on that scripture?
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The Lord gives us a gift. And it's by his grace. Grace has basically two meanings in Scripture. One of them is unmerited favor. In other words, we deserve something, but we don't get what we deserve, and we're given grace that doesn't cause us to deal with the penalty of our actions. So that's the kind of grace we're talking about here, the grace that's unmerited, the one that we don't have to work for, so to speak. The other grace that's mentioned in Scripture is the ability to do. And in other words, the Lord will require of you to do something, or he will speak something to you, and he will give you not only the unmerited favor of who he is and who Christ is, but he will give with that, by faith, the ability to do that. But this one is the unmerited favor. For by unmerited favor are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. In other words, we don't have anything to do with it. Because at that point in time, the Lord imparts to us a measure of faith that we can believe, and that is the gift of God that he gives us that we might be saved.
That's right.
That's right.
So did you know that I have
to hear?
I can hear feedback on your speakers there, Charlie.
Okay.
Now, did you know that Sozo, I got down written down here, Sozo Faith is what I called it. But we know Sozo is salvation, and that it means to be saved, delivered, and healed. But did you know that without a measure of faith, even if it's that mustard seed of faith, that you cannot, not only can you not receive the gift of salvation, even though it's a gift, you have to have that mustard seed measure of faith, but you cannot be saved, delivered, or healed without faith. Did you know that?
That's right.
And so these people that go up and they'll say, or they'll go someplace and try to get a healing, or they'll try to get a deliverance, or they'll try to do things here, but they'll constantly complain. Well, I don't think I'm going to do it. Oh, I'm going to do this. I think it's in James. It says that a man who is double-minded is like the waves of the sea. Coming to and fro, which means you have to either have faith or you don't have faith. So there has to be a measure of faith. But tell them that quick story about the mustard seed that we talked about in Bible study yesterday. You had a good example on that one.
The mustard seed of the growth of the kingdom?
Yes.
The mustard seed is the tiniest of all seeds. It's very, very tiny, probably an eighth of an inch in diameter. And that seed, when it's planted in a field and cultivated and fertilized, it will grow. And when it grows, it will spring up into a little bitty tiny tree, but it will grow into a larger tree. And as it grows up large enough, the branches spread out, it produces fruit, more mustard seeds, and the birds can come and live in that tree and sit on the branches. So it becomes a place of shade, of protection, and of food.
Amen. Amen. When we were talking about that yesterday when you were teaching a Bible study, that visual, I really liked. I really liked that. So now let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So our entire walk is a walk of faith, not by what we see, not by becoming fearful, because I'm telling you something, when God promises you something, you have to have faith in his word. We've already discussed that, but I guarantee you the devil and his demons are going to send something your way to try to get you so your faith turns into fear. Would you agree on that, Charlie?
Yes, that happens.
Yeah, it happens more often than not. I know with me it does anyways. All right, so now we're going to go over into the fear, walking in fear. And with that, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. And if you don't mind, brother, I'd have you read that one.
Okay. There is a context for that, though. Let's add a few verses to it, okay? In Matthew 6, we're talking about that. Let's pick it up in verse 28. And it says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God also clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the heathens seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. This is the key, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take care, shall take thought of itself, of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof."
Amen. Amen. I've got down here, we are not to worry about tomorrow or later on. That's basically what I was coming up with there. But you're right, in context, we read it in context, but he's still telling us, don't worry.
Don't worry.
So we're not to worry.
As one brother said one time, he says, don't borrow from tomorrow, interest is too high.
That's funny.
But it's true, though.
That one deserves one of these. You ready? I haven't done one of these in a while. That one right there, Charlie, was a... Uh-oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Are we ready? Oh, boy, they're coming after us with that joke. They left us on that. Did you hear the old ghost town right there?
Yes, I did.
Now, Psalms 23:4. Psalms 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So you will fear no evil. This is a popular one at funerals, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So, but there's only one problem. It says here, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Well, if you're already dead, what is there to fear?
That's not the issue there.
Right. But what I'm saying is at the funeral, they'll sit down and say these for comforts and stuff, but they're not even talking about a dead person here.
No.
They're talking about somebody who's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Not talking about being dead. You're not trying to make somebody feel better. But what we're not supposed to fear when tribulation, trial, or affliction comes against us. And that we're to walk through that.
Yes.
Do you have something to add on that?
I see Psalm 23 as a psalm of life, not a psalm of death.
Amen.
Because in that, the Lord wants to breathe life into us. And at the end of that psalm, it tells us, is that the one that says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life"?
Amen.
Yeah. And sometimes sometimes I have a vivid imagination, and when I look around, I see two little dogs follow me, saying, and their names are Shirley and Mercy, and they'll follow me all the days of my life.
That's funny. That's funny. I would do another nuclear horn there, but I'll spare the people from that. So basically, what I put down here is, if we're walking through that valley, that trial, that tribulation, or that affliction is coming against us, we are not to fear.
I am Pastor
We are not.
It started.
Fire.
Behind.
That's last week.
That's not last week. Can you hang on 1 second?
Difficulties there again.
Yeah. Can you hang on 1 second? I got a technical difficulty. I'll be right back.
All righty. I'll take over here. So we are not to fear when that affliction, when that test or that trial comes against us. How do we do this? By having faith in what the Word of God says. And again, like I was saying before, a lot of these people will use this and talk about death at funerals and stuff. But like Brother Charlie said, this is not about death. This is about getting through that affliction and coming into life and life more abundantly. By who? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we're supposed to do. We are to walk in faith, not walk in fear. But for whatever reason, the devil has us hoodwinked, and we have accepted to walk in fear and not in faith. And the reason being is because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But for whatever reason, people aren't listening to the Word of God. They aren't reading the Word of God. They're not going to a church that preaches the Word of God. And they're not doing anything with the gospel, which is the good news of the Word of God. So therefore, they have no faith. They have no God kind of faith. And so, of course, if you have no faith, then you're going to operate in fear, because that's all that you know, and it's of the world. How we doing, Brother Charlie? All right, so I hear the pitter-patter of little Charlie's feet back. I think he's back with us now.
I'm back.
All right, let's turn over to Psalm 34:4.
Okay, here we go, Psalm 34:4. That one says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. The first part of that says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And then I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
How many fears were they delivered from?
All,
right?
Yeah.
So not just some. He didn't get you through this. Well, you know what? We'll get you through this, but I'm going to leave this on you because, you know, you still have to go through a learning curve. No, all. A-L-L. All your fears. You've heard this 100 times. The word fear really stands for false evidence appearing real. So it's not even a real thing that comes against you because we went back to the definition, and that is thinking that someone or something is going to harm or hurt you. But if God is with you, who can be against you or who can come against you? If you're abiding in Christ, then the devil has no foothold, no stronghold with you. And greater is he that is in you, and that's Jesus and the Holy Ghost, than he, which is Satan, that is in the world. But the only way that you're going to realize this and strengthen your faith is by faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to get into the Word of God. You've got to hear the Word of God. But it saddens me, Charlie, even from counseling people, how much fear people who are Christians, the fear that they operate in is astounding. Astounding, I guess I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's astounding. So if you seek after the Lord, and how do you seek after the Lord? Well, Charlie just said it. You bless the Lord all the time. You praise him. You humble yourself to him. You magnify the Lord, and you exalt his name. If you do this, then he will deliver you from all fear. Basically, your faith would be so high, and you would trust God in everything that you do, and just know that you know, you would operate in the agape kind of love that God is, and all love casts out all fear.
There's something to having around good music. I like good uplifting music, and we can put that music on around here. And I'm telling you, you can feel you can actually feel the anxieties and all kinds of things begin to push away because you're entering in with whoever's doing the music, singing and worshiping the Lord, and it just dissipates.
That's right. I mean, many times I'll sing to Brother Charlie. Oh, no, that's a lie. All right, forgive me, Lord. I'm lying and everything. Charlie knows that I can't sing a lick, and that would definitely not bring him into the presence of God. That would drive him out of my room. All right, let's go to Psalms chapter 27 and read verse 1. And it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" I mean, if the Lord is your light and your salvation, and he's talking, I believe this is David speaking here. Yeah, this is David speaking here. And he is saying that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Kind of sounds like he was pretty confident in what he was saying. Like he knew who and what he was talking about. Wouldn't you say, Charlie?
Yes. He was saying there because David was having to deal with some things. And he even goes on to say, "When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." He had confidence in the Lord that he was going to take care of them.
Yeah, I mean, to have that confidence in the Lord is amazing. It's amazing. All right, mm-hmm. We're going to go to 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7. But again, if you're out there, you're listening, give us a call at 646-787-8364. Again, 646-787-8364. If you want to join in with us, if you want to say hello, if you need prayer, if you want to disagree with us, if you want to add something, we would love to hear from you. And so give us a shout, 646-787-8364. So with that, let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and read verses 6 and 7. How about you tackle that one, brother?
Okay. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you."
Amen. Amen.
When I read that particular scripture, that reminds me of the character of Joseph. And all that he went through, each step along the way in his life, he humbled himself before the Lord. The Lord took care of him, and he exalted him in due time.
Now, what would you, if you had to explain this to somebody who didn't really understand this, what would we be talking about here as far as humbling yourself? What can humbling yourself do against fear?
Well, when you humble yourself unto the Lord, you're putting your trust in him and not in the fear or anxiety that's maybe trying to come upon you. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If we can give our cares to the Lord and let him carry them, sometimes that can be a bit of a struggle, but if we can trust him with that, the faith and trust go hand in hand, so that therefore if we humble ourselves under the Lord and trust him in faith and cast our cares upon him, he will care for us. He will take care of us. And he's promised that throughout his word, all the way from Genesis through Revelation, he's promised that to us, that he will take care of us.
Amen. Amen. You know, this just came to me as I was thinking. God always talks about have childlike faith. Have childlike faith. If you could have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed or to become as a child, be like a child. He always talked about a child. So for whatever reason, this just came to me. When my kids were young, like I'm sure when yours did, and they were fearful of something, let's be honest, when you're young like that, you're afraid of a lot of things. But when they were fearful of something and you and I were there as their dads, I can remember my kids coming, running up to me and grabbing a hold of my leg and just kind of holding and drawing into me knowing that with Dad there, they didn't have to fear anything. That
That's
Dad
exactly
would take
right.
care of everything.
That's right.
Aren't we, as children of God, when we do fear, because fear, you're going to get fearful at times. We've already discussed that. But shouldn't we be running to God like that, grabbing a hold of his leg and just knowing that our dad is there and he's going to take care of us?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know why. That just came to me as you were talking and stuff. But that's why I think God wants us. People will run from God. And if we would learn to run to God and grab a hold of him and just hug him and just know that he's there to protect us, I mean, I think that would help a lot of the fear factor that goes on today.
Yes,
another thing I wanted to bring to bear, possible to please God, did you know, and I know you know this, brother, I'm talking to the people out there listening, did you know that fear is the demon's faith? And what I mean by that is when somebody operates in fear, that actually puts into motion demonic activity or demonic beings, and they actually can strengthen their attacks, gain more entrance into you by you being in fear. You actually open the door for the devil to come and get legal attack to you.
It can. Fear will... It's like the down south. When you grow up down south, you grow up in the woods, and you learn that if you encounter a wild animal in the woods, if you show fear, they can smell it, and the possibility of something happening that shouldn't happen could occur. If you don't show fear and you're confident in yourself, they may walk away and leave you alone.
Yes, so, I have heard that.
Yes, and that's to a large degree that's true, because where I grew up, I mean, you know, we had rattlesnakes and cottonmouths and copperheads, and we had cougars down there. We call them panthers down there. Cougars are mountain lions. We had some bears down there, and some of those things. And occasionally in the woods, you would run up upon them. And usually if somebody got snake bit, it was because they either cornered that serpent or they stepped on it. Rarely does a snake just haul off and bite somebody. But you have to be aware of them, respect them. You don't necessarily have to be afraid of them, but you have to fear them in the fact that you know that if you mess with them, you could be harmed.
Amen. Unless you go to one of them churches down south that has them at meetings and stuff.
Yeah. There's still a few of them around, too.
All right, let's go over to Psalms 112:1. Psalms 112:1. Now, we had spoken earlier a little bit about how there's two different kinds of faith and there's two different kinds of fear. We're going to be talking about another angle of fear or a different type of fear in 112:1. Would you like to read that, Charlie?
It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments."
Would you like to expound on that?
Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, the happinesses of the man that has great reverence, awe, and fear of the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. In other words, if we really, truly have a respect and a holy fear of the Lord, we will delight in his commandments, because his commandments are not grievous. And that's a healthy respect. Because I well remember there were times in my own life that I had a healthy fear of my daddy. My daddy was 6'3", weighed 285 pounds, and was an ex-professional boxer and a 5-year veteran of World War II. Was I going to mess with him? No. But I knew that if my daddy asked me to do something and I did it, I would receive blessing. And if I disobeyed daddy, daddy spank.
So that was a healthy fear.
That was a healthy fear. And there's a difference between that and the fear that comes on you that scares you and terrifies you.
Right. Right. You knew that someone or something, like the description, the definition of that word, was not going to cause you any harm.
No.
And that if he did spank you, and I know people disagree with me here, but if he did spank you or chastise you, he was doing it to teach you right from wrong, and he did it because he loved you.
Well, all of our earthly parents are fallible and they make mistakes. Mine did, certainly. But for a large part, it was when I did something wrong that he wanted to straighten me out on. That's when I got the spanking.
And it was the same in the Judkins household. My mom would give me the belt. My mom loved me more than anyone on this planet. She brought me into this world. She was trying to teach me to become a man that would not lie, cheat, or steal, an honest man, a respectful man. And so at times, to put me back on the right track, so to speak, when I did something wrong, I had to know that there was a price that had to be paid for doing something wrong. But
yeah,
when she did that, she did that out of great love for me. Now, does God do that today? Does God do that today, Charlie?
The Bible teaches me this: whom the Lord loves, he chastens.
But shouldn't we just preach, you know, lovey-dove-dove, love, and prosperity? Shouldn't those be the two things that we teach in the church today?
I know enough to know that, and I've walked long enough to know that if we continue to disobey the Lord, there will be consequences. One way or the other, there will be consequences for disobedience to the Lord. If we continue in that disobedience, it will catch up with us. We need to honor and respect him and the right fear of the Lord, and with knowing that there could be consequences for our behavior, so to speak. Over the years, I've known people that they continued to disobey God in something, and finally, whatever they were involved in became publicly exposed, and it had to be dealt with then. It couldn't have been dealt with quietly. They could, you know, they didn't want to repent of it and deal with the thing and get counseling and listen to the brothers or sisters who were trying to help them. No, they wanted to continue in what they were doing. Well, when the time came, the Lord said, okay, that's enough. Wide open. Now everybody knows it.
That's very true. That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
But God is a God of many chances.
Yes.
And he does things to basically get you back on track with himself.
That's right.
So I got down here, we are fearing the wrong one, and we are in the wrong definition. And we are in the wrong definition of fear. Did you ever write something down, Charlie, and you have no reason, no rhyme or reason why you wrote it down?
Yeah, I do it all the time when I'm putting my lessons together.
Well, I think I just joined that crowd right there because I have no clue what I was writing down right there. So we'll move on to the next one. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 31. So that was a senior moment right there for me. Probably hadn't had enough Mountain Dew or something like that, so my brain wasn't stimulated. All right, let's go to 31:6. And it says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, here he's talking about Joshua and becoming the new leader of Israel. But what I'm trying to focus on here is he's telling us not to be afraid, that basically he had appointed Joseph, leader of Israel, Joshua, and that God was with them and he was not going to leave them nor forsake them. My Bible tells me that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and what he's done for one, he'll do for another. So we can take this and say, you know, we don't need to fear, because if we're submitted unto God and we're obeying and in obedience to God, that there's nothing to be afraid of, because he will protect us.
Yes.
So God is with us. He will never leave us. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, and we're going to read verses 10 and 13. Do you like to do that one, my friend?
Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Thou shalt seek them, and thou shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. Let me go one more verse. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee.
So here, God is telling people, he's saying, fear not, don't fear. There's no need to fear. Why? Because he's with them. He is there. I think one of the best, well, I don't want to use the word best, but one of the biggest things or weapons against a person that Satan has is that false evidence appearing real. He tries to hit you in your thought pattern with fear. What do you think, Charlie?
Yeah, he does. And because I know that there are times that I've even gone out at night to check on something. For the most part, it doesn't bother me. You know, I go on about my business. But there's been a few times that I've gone outside at night, and I would like have this anxiety and fear come over me, and I just have to say, "Well, devil, you ain't doing it to me. In the name of Jesus, I'd go on about my business." We cannot let it control us like that.
That's right. That is absolutely correct. And for those of you, Charlie, I don't know what you're too afraid of, because I wouldn't want to make it so you were fearful, because I know you, and I just don't want to go there. All right, Isaiah 54:4, and it says, "Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will not remember the reproach your widowhood anymore." So he's talking about the covenant of peace here. But he's telling us again, do not fear. And he's saying there's no need to fear, because anything that's in your, he'll take care of it, basically, is what he's saying. I'm using today's terms, but there's no need to fear, because God will take whatever you could be fearing, and he'll fix the situation. He'll make it right.
Right.
So with that, let's turn. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You said it. I mean, that's all I was saying was commenting. That's correct.
Oh, amen. Amen. Let's go over to Matthew 10:28.
That's a tough verse. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's tough. That's tough.
It's all yours, my brother. It's all yours.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You do me favors like this all the time, you know. when Jesus is talking here, as Matthew recorded it, he's talking here in Matthew chapter 10, when he's describing to the disciples. If you back up a couple of verses, it says the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. We were just talking about that. What I tell you in darkness, that ye speak in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And he's speaking here of people. He was telling his disciples, he said, listen, there's going to be people that are going to hand you over. There's going to be people that's going to persecute you, and there's going to be people who are going to want to kill you. Don't fear those who can kill the body. Don't worry about those who can come along and physically take your life. Have a trust and a fear in the Lord, because the Lord God is the only one that lives in heaven, which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. And that's a dangerous place to be.
Yes, it is.
Very dangerous.
Now, would you say here Jesus is teaching about the fear of God?
Yes.
And so I guess what he's saying in essence here, there's really no need to fear anything that can happen to us here on this planet, because if we're right with God, we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's our Savior. We're walking, in the ways of the Word. We're preaching the gospel. We're doing what the Word tells us to do. When we sin, we're asking for forgiveness. We're confessing our faults to one another. We're doing the best that we're able to do. We're maturing in Christ. Then there's really nothing anybody here on earth can do except take out your life force here on earth. But that's just a twinkling of an eye, and you're going to heaven. You're going into the kingdom of heaven if you're doing all that.
Yes.
So there's really no need to fear. But we do need to fear God, because if we're not doing these things, then God can cast us, send us to hell and then cast us into the lake of fire for eternity. So really, that's the only thing there is to be afraid of.
Yes.
But for whatever reason, people will get fearful, and they'll get crippled by their fear. They'll be afraid of this. The devil might show up with a familiar spirit, a demon, and and do all this other stuff. Or this witch might come and say, twinkle, twinkle, you know what I mean, and all this other stuff. But, let's be honest here. The worst that they can do is, if it's even allowed, take you out. They can take you off of this earth, and then you go to a better place. So really, if you think about it, if your walk is right with God, there's really nothing to fear.
Yeah.
There really isn't. I mean, that's just a big waste of time. And that's exactly what the devil wants, because as we walk in fear and we're crippled and we're plugging up that spout where the glory comes out, and we're not able to operate in the ways of God because we're believing lies, then the devil's accomplished, or at least wasted some time. So we haven't been able to reach maybe some people that God has for us to reach.
That's right.
And nobody knows that more than me with the sickness and the disease that always tries to come upon me. And, you just have to get to a point in your life where you say, you know what, to live is Christ, to die is gain.
Yes.
And it's not easy to do. I mean, it's tough and difficult. But what happens when you fall down, Charlie? What do you do?
I repent.
And then you get up, you dust yourself off, and you continue on, right?
Yes, I do, because it's we have to do that. Because if we don't take account for that, I've walked long enough to know that that if we continually disobey the Lord, we could be in serious trouble. And to those that don't know the Lord, they have no hope. And I don't want to be one of those that has my name blotted out of the book of life. I have no desire for that whatsoever. None. So I want to walk close enough to him where that doesn't even become an issue at all. And in that sense, if you walk close enough to the Lord that you obey him, you respect him, you honor him, you have a righteous fear of him, and you cling to him, that to me is eternal security, because we ain't going nowhere near the fence to fall off.
Amen. Amen. I like that. I don't know about you, but I've fallen down quite a bit of time, you know, quite a few times in my Christian walk. But I'll also say this too, as I get older and the more time I spend in the Word and with God, I know I don't stumble quite as much. And even if I do,
no.
I get up a whole lot quicker and brush myself off a lot faster. And it also helps, I guess, to have, you know, good brothers and sisters in Christ who, you know, a lot of times early on, you know, a year and a half ago when we started the church and everything together and stuff, I mean, you saw the snags that I ran into, you know, being attacked and stuff. You could have very easily said, you know what, forget this, I'm gone. But you never did you?
No.
And I've never heard you complain or say a negative thing about me. And you know what, I love you for that. And it's actually made it so it gives me strength to carry on and to want to do more. And we need more brothers and sisters in Christ like this.
Yes, we do. We sure
but
do.
For some reason, the body of Christ, where they would rather basically pick people out and destroy them, and I don't understand why. And but we need to tell the truth. And you know, I another thing too, we've got a couple minutes left here, but we sit down there, and I used to be real fearful of what other Christians would think of me. Being born again now for 39 years, I'm going to just lay out in the line. I really don't give a hoot what they think of me, Charlie. I don't know about you, but as long as I'm doing what I think the Word says to do, it don't matter what somebody else thinks to me.
No.
What matters to me is what the Lord thinks. And that's what matters most to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I got off on that there, but, you know, that was for free. Again, we don't charge, so you can't get your money back on that one either. All right, so we got about a minute and a half left. That's pretty much it right there. We had a couple more scriptures, but we can hold off on that. We were just trying to touch base with faith and fear. You see, I've seen a lack of faith talking with people and stuff from around the world. I've seen people with great faith. I see people with a lot greater faith than what I have. But I've seen a lack of faith as a whole in the body of Christ. But boy, I've seen an increase in fear.
Yes.
How about you? What's your perception on that?
Yes, there's been a great increase in fear. People are fearing for a lot of different things. And I constantly hear people say, you know, I'm so afraid of what's coming on the earth. I wish Jesus would come back and take us out of here today or tomorrow, you know. We've got to not fear that. The Lord is going to sustain us in that. If he sustained Noah through the flood, he can sustain his children through whatever's coming on this earth.
Amen. 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 Well, we're just about out of time, Brother Charlie. We do an hour. The hour goes by pretty quick. But we're asking you to join us tomorrow night at 10 o'clock Eastern time. We are going to be talking on the power of Christianity. I will be doing the Hour of Power tomorrow. So I invite you to come see. We'll be back next Tuesday. We're going to start a new format here where Brother Charlie's going to put a show together, and I'm going to put a show together. I'm not sure on the nights right now, but we'll do that. We've got 10 seconds left. Charlie, thank you so much for doing the show with me. Thank you all for listening. We love you, and remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless.
Amen.